Buck O'Neill is with us, and we're talking about the Negro Leagues. One of the things that Faye Vincent said, and I wonder if you can provide the answer for me, Buck, he said, I would always say, why aren't they bitter? Why aren't they angry about not getting the opportunity of playing baseball, meaning Major League Baseball, till 1947 when Jackie broke the color barrier? Why wasn't there that anger there?
Well, one thing about it is we thought we might have been playing the best baseball was played in this country or in the world. That's what we were thinking. Now, if we would have been bitter, like me, if I had been bitter, I would have been bitter because I couldn't attend Sarasota High School. I couldn't matriculate at the University of Florida, although my father paid taxes just like any white man paid the taxes, but I couldn't attend them, and that kept us back more than baseball.
So in other words, you felt you were playing the best brand of baseball, but other things that were more important than baseball would have been a bigger battle to battle.
That's right. That's right. See, that education. Education. See, that's the thing that actually kept the blacks back more than baseball.
The Yankees, the black Yankees, they would play at Yankee Stadium, and they would draw a full house as well, would they not?
Of course, well, and I played there many times. See the Negro American League. This is the team from Cleveland back to Kansas City, and the teams east from Pittsburgh, Harrisburg, all the way to New York, Washington, Philadelphia. That was the Negro National League, and we played each other. What we would do for 2 weeks out of the season, we would go east. And 2 weeks out of the season, they would come west so the people could see all the baseball. So that's why we would play in Yankee Stadium. I remember the Kansas City Monarchs from the west and the Chicago American Giants played in Yankee Stadium. We got 45,000 people in the ballpark. We're playing the New York Cubans and the New York Black Yankees. Just stacked the ballpark. Oh, man, the people just walked in there. And I tell you what. Out of those 45,000 people, 99.9% were black people, black fans. And over at Branch Rickett Ballpark, we playing for 45,000, and he playing for 20,000. So actually, he saw this. This is a brand new clientele. This is why Jackie Robinson.
Most people, when they think about the Negro Leagues, the name that comes to their mind first and foremost is Satchel Paige. But as you heard the commissioner say, probably he was not the best player in the Negro Leagues. Oscar Charleston. Now, that is not a name probably 99% of the people are familiar with. Tell us who Oscar Charleston was.
Oscar Charleston was a center fielder for the Indianapolis ABCs. Oscar Charleston played in the 20s, 30s, and some parts of the 40s, but Oscar Charleston was an outstanding baseball player. Hey, hit your 50 home runs, steal your 100 bases. That was Oscar Charleston. And see, we say the closest thing to Oscar Charleston was Willie Mays.
And why was that? Because he could do everything?
Yeah, sure. Could beat you any way you could be beaten.
Tell me some of the other players that we may not know and what they were able to accomplish in baseball.
Then you had Biz Mackey. Biz Mackey taught Campanella how to catch. He managed him down there at the Baltimore Eli Johns. Mm-hmm. Mule Suttles, great home run hitter, just like Josh Gibson, played outfield and first base. They would holler when he come to the bat, kick Mule, and Mule would kick. And, oh, man, we had it there quite a few. And we got some guys now just like New Substitute, not in the Hall of Fame. And he should be in the Hall of Fame. Biz Mackey should be in the Hall of Fame. Willard Brown should be in the Hall of Fame at Cooperstown. So, and I don't know. I'm going to Cooperstown this week. I'm going over there Friday, and I hope I can get into the meetings with the Veterans Hall of Fame Committee. All of those are Hall of Fame ball players, and I want to put some of these names up to them.
What about Double Duty Radcliffe?
Double Duty Radcliffe should be in the Hall of Fame.
And tell everybody who he is and what he did.
Double Duty Radcliffe, I just caught the pitch for him on his birthday the other day. He will be 101. He is 101 years old. Double Duty, they call him Double Duty because he would catch the first game and pitch the second game. That was duty. Good athlete.
When you think about what Jackie Robinson did, was he the right person to break the color barrier in baseball?
Most certainly. Most certainly. He was the right person because actually Jackie actually knew what it meant. It just wasn't baseball. Jackie knew he had an entire race of people. Yes, blacks in this country on his shoulder. Had he messed up, well, it might have set us back as far as civil rights concerned of 50 more years.
And it was also a very difficult challenge because not only did he have the talent, but he also had to be the right temperament. And it was hard for him, I sensed, especially since he came from California where there was a lack of tolerance of it, I should say. So I wondered whether he was the right person from a temperament standpoint.
Well, the one thing about it is, actually, Jackie Robinson was as fiery as any human being you've ever seen in your life. We knew he could play enough to play Major League Baseball. But what was wonder would he take this stuff? But he did. He did. And it was remarkable that he kept himself in, he held his temper, and he did the things that actually ordinarily he wouldn't do because Jackie Robinson wouldn't step back for no human being.
Buck, do you believe that the Negro Leagues are finally getting their just due?
They're getting some of the things through the Negro League Baseball Museum and other things that's happening. And baseball is opening up now to the Negro League ball players. And the commissioner and the Ken Burns documentary, that's turned a lot of things around for us.
What was it like for you in 1962 with the Chicago Cubs to become the first African-American to coach in the majors?
It didn't seem that much to me because, see, with the Chicago Cubs, I'd been with the Cubs about 7-8 years, and so what I had done was I knew everybody in the Cubs system. I knew all of this. I knew all of these people, so it was just another job. And I tell you what, with me, it was actually kind of bittersweet because the sweet part about it, now I don't have to drive all over the country. I'm riding the airplane, the train, or whatnot, and all Major League ballparks. That was the sweet part. But the bitter part about it, see, baseball was over 75 years old, and here I'm the first black coach in the Major Leagues. I knew Rube Foster. I knew so many guys like Willie Foster and was Frank Duncan was capable of doing this job 75 years ago. Yeah, and now I'm just the first black. No, that didn't sound too good for this country.
Buck, I want to thank you very much. You are a true treasure of the game, but also of America. You have done so much for baseball and so much for the Negro Leagues. I am just so pleasured and honored to have known you for such a long time. Thank you, my friend. Stay in good health and come back and visit with us anytime here on Sports Byline.
Okay.
Buck O'Neill, former Negro League player and manager and chairman of the Negro League Baseball Museum. And again, you can find that in Kansas City. It's a must stop and see if you happen to be in that part of the country. Back on the other side with more of you and America's Sports Talk Show.